shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening, this is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over shortwave radio station WWCR on 4.840 megahertz and 3.215 megahertz. That's transmitter 3 and transmitter 1. And also radio station WBCQ at 7.490 megahertz. Both of those stations do have internet links where you can listen on the internet, or you can go to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com. Go to our radio page and you can see links for those stations and also live link from our website there. The unlawful and unjust treatment of our white Christian brethren everywhere should be of top concern to all of us. And tonight we'll be dealing with this important topic. The persecution taking place against white nationalists in Great Britain and the invasion of that country in Europe by non-white, non-Christian peoples. My guest is highly qualified spokesman on the subject, the chairman of the British Voice, a nationalist organization, and he is a common law advocate helping imprisoned racial nationalists overturn their prison sentences. I'd like to welcome to the broadcast, all the way from England, where it's 4 in the morning, Mike Whitby.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Just fine. Good. Doing okay over there?
Yeah, we're doing fine, thanks. Other than the oppression that we're suffering from, as you just indicated, it's very dark times.
Coming on the broadcast, especially at this time of morning. Why don't you start by telling us what is the current situation taking place in Britain and how does it compare to what England was like not all that too many years past?
Well, it's been a progressive thing, really, for probably the last 40 or 50 years. But in the last 20 years, it's become really bad, in so much as from 1997 onwards, they ramped up immigration levels 10 times what they were before. And it's now gone beyond 10 times. In fact, in the last 20 years, we've had 14 million immigrants in a country that only has around about 60 plus million people to start with. You know, it's a heck of a lot of an increase. And there's no abating of it. The government are doing nothing about it. In fact, they seem to be encouraging it. And whenever anybody complains about it, we're called racist. And the more we complain about it, the more they introduce new unlawful legislation in order to silence the people. I say unlawful legislation because we have a constitution much like America. And in fact, America's constitution was taken from our Magna Carta. And our politicians these days completely ignore our constitution and they make legislation, not laws, but legislation which are unlawful. Unfortunately, most of our people don't realize that legislation is unlawful. They just are told it's the law and they go along with it. When it, you know, if they realize that it's unlawful, that there are ways to counter it. And, you know, this is the message that we're trying to get across to people, that we have a constitutional common law which is being trashed. Freedom of speech is virtually dead. Innocent Britons are being imprisoned for their words. Those people are prisoners of conscience. Most of the general public are not even aware of it. They hear about somebody called Tommy Robinson, who's not even a genuine nationalist. He's a Zionist, and he proudly boasts of being a Zionist, and they plough lots of money into his campaign. But he's not a genuine nationalist, like I say, and the genuine ones are being put in prison for doing far less than what he's done. Admittedly, he's been sent to prison just a week or two ago for 12 months. But really, that's a drop in the ocean compared to some of these other people who've been given 8, 10, 12, 20 years for their words.
And I guess that's both parties over there, or the major parties that support taking away those freedoms. And I understand that Theresa May, in her previous job before Prime Minister, wouldn't even allow American nationalists into the country in many instances.
Correct. Yeah, and really speaking, you know, the British public don't realize it, but there's nothing between, there's no difference between the Labour government and the Conservative, well, I should say Tory government, because Conservative in Britain is a different thing to what it is in America. From what I gather, you know, in America, Conservatives are regarded as nationalists. That's certainly not the case in this country. It used to be many years ago, but not anymore. And all of the mainstream parties are in support of immigration, despite the fact that every single poll that's ever been taken on it, opinion poll that is, the vast majority of the British people are against immigration. Yet they take no notice. As long ago as 1968, when really the thing really started to ramp up, and a politician named Dino Powell did a speech about the Rivers of Blood, as it's now called, when he talked about in the future, the black man will have the upper hand on the white man. And they said, oh, this is terrible. You can't be saying things like that. They did lots of opinion polls back then in 1968. And as many as 85% of the population were against immigration. And what did they do? They didn't curtail it. They increased it. So they really stick two fingers up to the people on a regular basis, and it really doesn't matter which party it is. It's only the small nationalist parties that expose these things that are going on. And we are called racist, of course, you know, because we're going against the narrative. And anyone who goes against that narrative risks losing their livelihood, their job, bringing apparent shame on their family because they're a racist, which is disgraceful. As you know, the word racist, I'm sorry?
I was wondering just what kind of laws you have. We have a certain degree of freedom in this country, although they're trying to take it away every day. But what kind of press laws and hate speech laws and so on do you have that people are getting prosecuted and persecuted for?
Well, first of all, we have this thing called anti-Semitism. So if anybody mentions the Jews in any capacity at all, even Israel, you have a go at Israel, then people say, oh, that's anti-Semitic. Well, no, it's not. You're having a go at a country, not a race of people. And Jews argue themselves that they're not a race. You know, they're certainly not a nation of people because they're dispersed all over the world. Yet nothing can be said about them in this country. Just saying what I'm saying now on a British broadcast, I'd probably have the police knocking on the door tomorrow. Not that they'd get them anywhere.
You can say anything you like on this broadcast. This is Free Speech Radio, and we do deal with the Jewish problem all the time. Of course, we deal primarily through the biblical perspective. I might mention, I forgot to mention at the top of the hour, but anybody who would like to join our conversation tonight with your comments or your questions, you can call our toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE, 877-924-7722. For our foreign listeners who can't use a toll-free number, or anybody in America who wants to use it, they can call directly at 678-949-5091. I guess Britain has changed quite a bit in recent years, both religiously and culturally. What is taking place, and do the people as a whole recognize the change that's taking place?
Yeah, absolutely. People have been complaining for many years, as I pointed out earlier, but after the 1968 situation, and even back then, as I indicated before, even the trade unions, who are predominantly Marxist organizations, they were all against immigration back then in the 60s. Now they're all for it. And last year we had 750,000 immigrants come into our country and settle here in just 1 year. Now that's the size of population of our third biggest city, which is Leeds in Yorkshire. All just in 1 year. Before that, for the previous, say, 5 years or so, we had more than the population of our fourth largest city, Glasgow, come in every year. People, since we had the Brexit vote back in 2016, since then, during the Brexit campaign, in fact, people became much more open in their complaints against immigration. Prior to that, they looked over their shoulder to see who was listening before they commented on it. Because, you know, it's a bit like a war zone in which, you know, during World War II, apparently they used to have signs everywhere saying the walls have ears, be careful what you say. And that's the way Britain is now. It's way beyond Big Brother in 1984. It's much worse.
I imagine the public school system and the media and everybody else is pushing that left-wing integration-type agenda.
Well, they are, in fact. And whenever anybody says anything that's anyways middle of the road or erring towards the right, well, we're extremists, we're Nazis, we're terrorists. Now, most of these youngsters who've been sent to prison, I say youngsters because I'm in my 60s and most of these only in their 20s and 30s. Well, all they've done is spoken predominantly about World War II. And these are not stupid people. These people are predominantly academics. They've come from university and college backgrounds. And they've studied the subject very, very succinctly, and they know what they're talking about. So the establishment has recognized that and thought, oh, goodness, if we allow these people to keep going, people are going to listen to them because they're not thugs. They're just academics who are going out there telling the truth, and we don't want the truth to come out. So all of the newspapers, they're all owned by a handful of Jews, and they're all against the truth. The monetary system is owned by the Rothschilds, as is America's and the rest of the world. So nobody knows about that. Even politicians not allowed to talk about it. I was a candidate in the mayoral elections for Liverpool in 2012, and that was one of the campaigns that I was using to in my election address. And I spoke live on Radio Merseyside, which is the Liverpool BBC radio station. And somebody rang up and asked about fractional reserve banking, or fractional reserve lending, as some people call it, which is the way the Jews make money out of nothing, and they're allowed to, and the government calls it a loan when it was created out of thin air. And apparently that radio station has over a quarter of a million listeners. Well, I was on the Friday afternoon, and I was on that show for about 2 hours, and at 7 o'clock on the Monday morning, the police came and smashed into our home, claiming that I'd done something illegal with regard to the election, which was a load of rubbish. It was completely made up just so that they could demonize me 3 days before the election. And they did. So obviously I didn't win the election, didn't expect to win it, but I expected a decent, reasonable result. Didn't get any of that. What I did get is my name blackened, so I haven't been able to be employed since. We lost our home because we couldn't afford to pay the rent. And, you know, I've been in a very difficult situation because I don't earn any money for what I do. And those people do that. Anyone who's brave enough to go against them and speak out, they'll either send you to prison or they'll blacken your name and tell people not to employ you. So this is the sort of thing.
The police force is willingly enforcing this injustice?
Yeah. They used to be on our side or impartial, but nowadays the police force are an absolute disgrace. They brutalize our people just for doing nothing, for not backing up in a demonstration, for example, when they tell them to. Whereas when Muslims are campaigning, the police run away. There's lots of film footage on YouTube of British police running away from Muslims. And it's appalling. They're a disgrace to themselves and our country. But anything we do, you know, they come down on us like a ton of bricks. Even the army now has come out just a couple of weeks ago and said that, you know, they're against anyone who claims to be patriotic nationalists. The army. And the army themselves, the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen, are all predominantly on our side because they're patriots. That's the main reason why they joined the forces. Yet their bosses, their boss, who's an old Etonian, by the way, Sir Mark Carleton Smith, British Army Chief of Staff, has come out now and he's only been in the job for a year. And he's really had a go and said that no nationalists are welcome in the army or patriots.
I imagine it's like the military over here where they jump them from the lower ranks over some of the older officers and put them in for political reasons to push their agenda.
Yeah, as they did in America, you know, with Eisenhower being promoted from a 2-star general to a 5-star general overnight over the heads of all the other 3- and 4- and 5-star generals so that he could lead the war effort on behalf of his cousins who brought the war in the first place. So yeah, anyone who doesn't complain about immigration, they must be absolutely nuts. You know, every immigrant is here unlawfully. That's the thing that I need to get across right from the start. Every single one of them, because we have never had any kind of mandate for immigrants. Although our country has accepted small amounts of immigrants for eons, they've been people like us, of European stock, who would assimilate into the environment. They're like us. They've got the same religion usually as us, the same cultural habits, and they fit in fine. But now again,
I imagine a lot of that's being pushed by the European Union, both on Britain and the rest of Europe.
Very much so. Yeah, the European Union have a plan called the Coudenhove-Kalergi plan. Now, that's somebody's name. This is a chap who, he was a mixed race, half Jew and half Japanese back in the 1920s. And he wrote a book called Practical Idealism, which is a bit of a contradiction in terms, but that was the title of his book. And in that book, he described how the Jews were, he was half Jewish himself, and he described how the Jews were going to run Europe. They're going to change all the people of Europe from being white to being coffee-colored. And this is the, it's basically the blueprint for the European Union. And every 2 years, whoever comes up with the best ways, I say the best in their terms, of introducing more and more Africans and Indians into Europe, they are awarded what they call the Charlemagne Prize. And the first person ever to receive that from them was this Richard Coudenhove-Kalergi. It's effectively his award that they hand out every 2 years to people like Tony Blair, you know, warmongers, evil, champagne-swilling Marxists. So, you know, he openly stated in that book that he wants to replace the white race in Europe with Egyptian-looking type people, he referred to as.
Well, I guess they're having some success. I read that last year the lowest white birth rate ever recorded took place in England.
Correct. And the most popular name for baby boys now is Mohammed, has been for nearly 10 years. Because they breed like flies, and every other Muslim boy is called Mohammed or some description of that. And this is, you know, anyone who thinks this sort of thing is happening by accident is deluding themselves, because it's what happened to Spain all over again, only in a slightly different way. They didn't come marauding over the hill with their weapons, their swords and axes. You know, when the Jews opened the door of Toledo to let them into Spain, the Jews in this particular case are the ones who control our government, and they've told them, you better let them in, and they're just letting them in. So, you know, the plan is for them to control us, for Muslims to control us, and we must convert to Islam or die, according to the Quranists. And the Talmudists who are bringing them in are just sitting on the sidelines laughing at all this. And they want Christians and Muslims to fight each other and no doubt kill each other off. So, you know, they benefit by getting more slaves into the country where they can make more money out of them. And in the meantime, they benefit from the unrest because they're evil people. And they love to see people upset, angry, and having a go at each other. It's a demonic thing, isn't it, as you know?
Well, it certainly is. And I see in this country, especially among the women, walking through the stores and stuff, hanging on to some black or other non-white. Occasionally you see it with the white men, too, more so with Orientals, but neither one should mix their race. Is that commonly acceptable now in England? Because if you mongrelize the race, you'll no longer have either race. Actually, if you're in either race, you'll destroy the creative race plus the purposes that God made the other races for.
Correct. And every race, every people that have a right to their own existence and in their own homeland, I would add, you know, because this is our homeland and it's actually our home. Forget the land bit for a moment. If anybody would allow somebody to come into their home and just wander into their home, sit at their table, eat their food, sleep under their roof, take their money, consort with their daughters, bully their sons, take their jobs, take their children's future, and take over their country, and say that's acceptable. Well, I'm afraid those people are candidates for the loony funny farm, because that is not acceptable to anybody. It doesn't matter what color, creed, or country you come from. Nobody should be.
That's true. I know some of them in our generation can see that, but I'm wondering about a lot of this newer, younger generation. They don't seem to see what's going on, what's wrong, racial difference or anything else. They stand around looking at their cell phones.
Yeah, and they've been brainwashed into it, and I'll come on to that in a sec. But over the past 10 years or so, perhaps a little bit longer, all of the establishment organizations, government offices, councils, what have you, considering we still to this day only have about 13 to 15% immigration nationally, every single brochure, pamphlet, magazine that's produced on behalf of the government, local or national, has got a black on the front page. Every bank and post office advert has got a black on the front pages. And then every other page through the book. I did a talk on it a few years ago and I had about 50 of these leaflets from all the different establishments, and every single one of them had a black on the front page. So we're being bombarded with it on a regular basis. and children are being bombarded with it from the age of 4 years old. From nursery school, they're being bombarded with this nonsense that it's okay to mix the races and to mess around with the genders. You know, they can choose whatever gender they're going to be. They show them, to give them sex and so-called education from the age of 4, 5, 6. When they get to about 8 or 9 years of age, they're forced to queue up in the classroom and a phallic symbol is placed on the teacher's desk. And those children have to take turns in putting a condom onto that phallic symbol. The parents are oblivious to what's going on. These days, most people haven't got a clue what goes on in their school where their children are. And if they knew this was going on, there'd be a revolution tomorrow, but they're too apathetic to even find out. Also, when they get to 11, they have to give their fingerprints to get their school meals. Now, in our country, and under our constitutional common law, nobody is required to give their fingerprints unless they're a criminal. So they're criminalizing all of our children. And then they send, that information doesn't stay in the schools. It gets sent over to Lockheed Martin in America. And as you know, Lockheed Martin is the biggest arms manufacturer in the world. So why are the identities, the bio identities of all of these children and people throughout the Western world, why are they being stored by an arms manufacturer? It's all very insidious what's going on, and people are oblivious to it. And I have to say about I was talking about Islam before. At least they still work as a community. They still help each other. And they rail against the schools when they try to give their kids sex education. They take their kids out of the classroom, which is what British families should be doing. Children shouldn't be.
Do you have any private Christian schools that are an alternative, or homeschooling, something like that?
Well, people, more and more homeschooling is taking place now. Not enough, Mike, but it's coming about. But our kids went to a Catholic school, and that was, it was all Catholic, as I did, you know, so there was never a problem between fellow Christians, but they started getting paid off about maybe 20 years ago by the government to call themselves faith schools instead of Catholic or, you know, Church of England or whatever. So they became faith schools, and that meant that they could put Muslims in there and other religions. And they're just taking over. And you've got our major city, London, is gone. We've virtually lost London. The majority of people in London are black now. And the surrounding counties as well, where the white flight took place, where the whites would move out of the east end of London, out towards Essex and Surrey and places like that. All of those outlying counties are getting overrun with them. Birmingham has become majority black. Leicester, another big city, is the first majority Muslim city in Britain. Even countries, cities up north like Manchester, Liverpool, Glasgow, they're being overrun with far more blacks and Asians than we ever had before. And these people are just allowed to do as they like. There's no
checks and balances. The same way in this country. Our cities are becoming third world countries, and I don't know why people can't wake up and see the reason that they're third world countries or third world cities is because they get third world peoples in there. They don't have the race that built this civilization and our culture.
Well, that's quite right, Mike. You know, I'm sometimes perhaps a little bit harsh on the people because when you speak to people on a one-to-one basis, the vast majority, I'd say 8 out of 10, are against all of this, against all the immigration and the despotism and the oppression that we're suffering. But you don't get to their opinions because the newspapers are all owned by the controllers, the Jews, the media. Radio, TV stations are all owned by the same people. So the political parties are all controlled by them. So the truth is never allowed to come out. And those who don't know what's going on, you know, those sick adults who've, you know, just been focusing on their own, themselves, me. All they know about is things like TV programs called Big Brother and another one called I Am a Celebrity, Get Me in the Jungle or something like that, or Come Dancing, and all these nonsense programs to blackmail people, hypnotize people into nonsense ideas and take their eye off the ball as to what's happening in their country. So anyone who's any dissenting voices are not allowed to be heard. So it's thankfully there's lots of nationalist parties nowadays, but most of us are very small compared to what the National Front used to be and the British National Party. Nowadays we have a couple of nationalist, so-called nationalist organisations in Britain that are not nationalist in any way, shape or form. One of them is the Scottish Nationalist Party, which is the governing party in Scotland, and they're Marxists. And in Wales, the governing party is Labour, they're Marxists. The second biggest party in Wales is Plaid Cymru, which means Party of Wales. They're Marxists. The Conservative Party is predominantly Marxist. The Liberal Party is Marxist. We're totally controlled by Marxists, so no other opinion is allowed. And there's actually no change. No matter, you know, people are brainwashed again with this idea that, oh, if you vote blue, you're voting Conservative. You vote red, you're voting for the Labour Party. They used to be the party of the people. But not anymore. You know, it used to be the Tories, the Conservative Party, are known as Tories over here. They were the globalist bankers.
I guess all the parties, the major parties, have been infiltrated. We have a phone call from Salt Springs, Florida. You're on the air.
Hey there.
Hiya.
This is Otto.
Hello, Otto. Yeah, fine, thanks.
Good. I just had a comment that just about, like, you know, the definition of things as we're talking about these subjects, which, by the way, you guys are doing a great job covering this, and I really appreciate your insights. But
thank you.
I mean, I would like to just, you know, have you know, a little bit of guidelines over, like, you know, for at least for myself when I talk about these things, is that you know, that the political correctness and all of the dumbing down of the people in terms of selling, like, you know, all of this as immigration, or that these people somehow or another are refugees from something or another, which is always very vague, or whatever the case is. I think that we all certainly recognize, but the average public doesn't recognize, over, like, you know, that this is nothing short of an absolute invasion.
Mm-hmm.
These people are invaders. They are not refugees. They are not immigrants. And this is nothing short of being an act of war.
Correct. Well, you're absolutely spot on.
Defined that way. A war is being waged on every aspect of not only our people, but every aspect of what we stand for, our culture, our values, everything. You know, and yet somehow, you know, it gets explained away as that these people somehow are just poor, disadvantaged refugees coming from someplace, and we're obligated to accept all of this and so on and so forth, while we stand by and then make all the comments that you guys have been making, and which I make frequently, about all the things that you see out there that are wrong, and yet we do nothing. And, you know, like, the Germans really basically had to fight on the streets in the 1920s over, like, you know, to barely pull their country out of where we're going now. That's where they were going under the Weimar Republic.
Yep.
You
correct.
Know, so, I mean, I don't see how it's going to be. It doesn't matter how accurate our social commentary is or whatever the case is. We're like, you know, at some point, somebody is going to have to do something, and it's not going to be done through like polite talking or through the political process. It's gone too far for that. I don't necessarily have the answers. I'm just merely saying, or like at some point, this is really going to have to be addressed, and it's not being addressed.
I completely agree with you, Otto, and I think the way we need to deal with it is not to kowtow to what they want us to do, but we need to arm ourselves, and you have a constitutional law as we do. You're a common law country. We are all countries that came from Great Britain are common law countries, you know, particularly the USA, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. So you have a constitution and you have common law. So you don't have to consent to any kind of legislation that goes against your rights. Yet our people do, and the people don't understand it. Your people have far more insight into your constitution than our people do, because our people have been dumbed down to the point where they don't believe we still have a constitution. Now, our goal is to tell people, regardless of what the police say when you're out there campaigning, you're talking to your neighbor, you're talking about the immigration invasion, which is absolutely what it is, don't back down from it. And if a cop wants to arrest you, just say, I don't consent. I don't consent, and keep on saying, I don't consent. Because what that's saying is, you're trying to arrest me under an unlawful legislative act, and I don't consent to it. And no matter what they do, they can't lawfully prosecute you. And if they do prosecute you, it's unlawful, and you can sue them. Not just the police, but the individual policeman as well.
But under the Patriot Act, or since, the whole put up deal of 9/11 and whatnot, over they can basically disappear you without having to go through any kind of legal process.
Well, yeah, they would say that, Otto, but Can you hear me?
It's like being in the Soviet Union or something over decades ago, or they basically, that's what we have essentially now. And they've done that to quite a few people.
Yeah, I've suffered with that myself for the past 10 years. But the point of it is, if people know how to deal with the police, then they can carry on and use our common law the way we always used to, as long as we're not committing harm, injury, or loss to any other person, then they can't do anything to us. But we're told, you just mentioned the Patriot Act. A legislative act cannot override your constitution. It doesn't matter what Obama or anybody else says about that. If it does, then that order can be voided. You can make a declaration of a void order for something that's unlawful.
Yeah,
now,
when the courts are as corrupted as they are, including the Supreme Court and whatnot, you cannot expect to get justice, as many people have not gotten when they should have gotten it and so forth. We're it's really kind of whistling in the wind. I mean, yeah, that's how it's supposed to work, but it isn't working that way.
No, it's
not. The bottom line of it is their last, listen, as long as we just talk and so forth and all the rest of it, they're not going to worry about us. It doesn't matter how accurate they are. They're only concerned about people actually really taking action. I mean, something that's really truly a threat to their power. And talking is not going to be a threat to their power. And we can see
I believe it's called these red flag laws. Even Trump is pushing it, but I heard that Lindsey Graham and then, of course, the left-wing Democrats are. But basically, it's about the same thing as happened in the Soviet Union years ago, where they want to put you away for thought crimes and charge you with things like mental illness.
Yep.
Well, of course, this is exactly, they basically, psychology for the most part, really is cutting-edge psychology is used by them for those kinds of purposes for the most part. But, yeah, that's what we're dealing with, the thought police here, where, this whole business that comes from international Jewry, the whole political correctness, the whole breaking down of the division between the races, eliminating nationalism and people's identities and stuff to create this whole mishmash, which is something that they can control. I mean, like, you know, when people have an identity and they have a mythos of their own and whatnot, they're usually going to do probably everything they can in order to preserve and protect that and whatnot, and they're not going to take too kindly over, like, you know, to outside influences over, like, in manipulation. And our people are so dumbed down over, like, you know, they just submit to this all day long, and they think that they're going to get justice through the system, which they don't. And they think that they're going to get justice through, like, you know, the political process, through, you know, elections and stuff, which are all rigged. Come on. I mean, like, you know, we have to wake up at some point and realize we've been had. You know, the game is just about up and whatnot over. And again, I don't have the answers. I can't sit here and say, okay, this is what we got to do. This is what we got to do. But clearly what we're doing is not working.
Okay. Well, you're right. Our people, both, you know, in the West in general, not just in the USA and in Britain, have been dumbed down to such an extent that they don't believe that they are sovereign anymore. We are sovereign in our nations. The politicians work for us. And when you say, if we just carry on talking, we can't do anything else. We need to educate the people. If we go beyond that and we start carrying weapons and, you know, committing war, they'll just close us down with martial law, then we won't be able to do a thing. So we have to educate the people, get them to understand what is going on, and you're absolutely right, the law is being broken every single day of the week in this country as it is in the USA. When people understand how to deal with it, and many of us have in this country, you know, not enough yet, don't get me wrong, but when they understand that they're protected by that law, they can go out and do a lot more than they could do before, because people are frightened to go out of their house. They think, we'll just sit at home and go on Facebook and then we'll get the message out. Well, it won't. It doesn't work like that. You know, that's just a parlor game sport, really. They need to be out there talking to the people. And when we educate the people as to the fact that all of what's happening today was written in the Frankfurt School document back in 1923, right, and that has been brought right to fruition by Marxists. Yeah?
Yeah, and the thing of it is that, you know, then they all came over here, like, you know, once Hitler came to power, you know, and then they took over basically a lot of the universities over here or wherever and start, like, you know, you know, basically selling all their garbage over here and stuff. And then they were able to infiltrate a great many other institutions as well as educational ones and so forth. And now they're pretty much in everything, government, finance, education, you name it, whatever, they're there. You know, and they're controlling the narrative and whatnot. And the population who have been, like, let's say, I'm a similar age to you, are like, you know, the kids that have come since then, they've grown up on all this kind of stuff. We're like, you know, and our parents and some of us have not done enough to protect them. So now, I mean, of course, they're dumbed down and stuff, and they're buying into all this or buying into one level of garbage or another that they're selling. And it's all a matter of divide and conquer. So the point that you made, I think, is an apropos point in that, if we're doing what we need to do to try to educate the people, that the question is, can we do that? Are they so unbelievably dumbed down and Teflon proof to truth? And especially if you speak the truth and if you represent anything that has to do with white interests or white nationalism or anything else, you're immediately shut down and they turn you off right away anyway. I talked to a lot of people and whatnot who were using the most mild of language I possibly can muster and whatnot, and you get that deer in the headlights kind of look from people when you start talking about certain subjects. They just can't deal with it, and they won't. So, I mean, you're right, though, if you could get them woke up when we had more numbers and people on our side, maybe it would galvanize something into a greater, like, you know, level of action or something that might bring some results. I realize that with the divide and conquer techniques and our numbers being so small and everything else, we can't do really that much over to actually affect a change over, like, in a way that you know, that could happen anytime soon, I suspect, beyond like education. But even if you get very involved in that, look what they tried to do to you. I mean, you came out there with the truth and they did everything they could to destroy you. And, by the way, I applaud you for like, you know, suffering for us. Okay. Basically, you know, I've been there myself. Like you go out there and you put yourself out there with the truth and you're suffering for the truth.
You know, well, that's what we all do. Well, I agree with you, Otto, but you know, people have a different mentality when they're in a group discussion as opposed to when they're on their own doorstep. And if you go around knocking on people's doors and asking them how they feel about it, and particularly if you've got the electoral role, so you know that you know the kind of person you're going to who lives in that house behind that door. In some cases, you're not going to knock on the Muslim door or the Jews door or the Africans door or whatever. You go to the ones who are likely to be Caucasoid. You know, you can usually tell by the name, not always, but often you can. So speak to those people on their doorstep. They will tell you exactly how they feel about things. But they always counter it by saying, but what can you do about it? Well, what we can do about it is start educating our kids. And, you know, it's not going to be done overnight. There's no question of that. It's so ingrained in our societies that we've got to start, as Mike said before, a lot more homeschooling programs so that the kids are learning the culture of our country and our people before anything else. You know, in some countries, cultural issues dominate the first 4 years of a child's school life. And all we get in our schools is little babies, 4 year old, having the sex run down their throat from the cradle all the way through. And then they get to the middle school and the upper school and college and university, and they're all dominated by Marxists. So if we take the children out of that atmosphere and put them in a culturally, racially nationalist atmosphere, they will.
I'd like to thank Otto for calling, but we do have two other callers waiting on the line. So
you guys for having me on.
Thanks, Otto.
Well,
nice talking to you. Bye bye.
Our next caller is from Sanborn, New York. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. I don't know if it's true that Donald Trump had an Uncle John that was an electrical engineering professor at MIT. Is that true?
I don't know. I'm from England.
I think he claims it, so I mean, I'll accept it as true.
Well, anyway, the thing is there anybody in Barack Obama's family or Michelle Obama's family that was an engineer or scientist or construction worker, anybody that builds anything in their families?
I doubt it.
Because they just seem like, you know, communist agitators. They just,
that's his background.
Yeah,
they want reparations now. They want the Americans to pay reparations for the slaves.
Yeah, all they do is
being brought to this country, they'd still be swinging through the trees in Africa and living in mud huts.
Correct.
Yeah, all they do. You know, all Obama seems to do is propagate hatred, you know, against anybody that does achieve anything or build anything. He doesn't teach people to achieve anything for themselves.
Well, that's the Marxist way of doing things, isn't it? You know, to denigrate everything good. And if you read we mentioned the Frankfurt School a little while ago. Everything, I think there's 11 points in the Frankfurt School's list, and it's destroying the family, introducing homosexuality, getting kids to disrespect school and the teachers, and all these things have come to fruition. And it's not been by accident, it's been by the fact that in England we've had the Tavistock School, we've had the Common Purpose, I think you have another one similar to Common Purpose. All of these things are forcing people to go down the communist Marxist route. And right for all the school teachers, even the police and the people in the armed forces are of that same mindset these days. So for the truth to get out, it's very difficult. But, you know, thank God, you know, this station and stations like it are getting the truth out there so people can get the truth one way or another.
Yes. Oh, that Frankfurt School sounds a lot like what they call the Protocols of Zion.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion came about 20 years before the Frankfurt School. And really, the Frankfurt School was taking the 11 points from the protocols, because it was created by the same people that created the protocols. You know, the Bolsheviks, they weren't Sheviks, by the way, they were Bolsheviks, because people who speak English, you know, they don't pronounce a J with a S-H-E-V.
Well, Muhammad Ali, at least, you know, told young people to go to college and all that. But the Democrats, they don't tell young people any kind of responsibility. They don't tell people to try to achieve anything.
I agree. Muhammad Ali was a proud man, and he came to Britain and appeared on the BBC and was interviewed by a fellow named Michael Parkinson. And Parkinson said, what do you think of racism? And he said, I don't believe in racism. He said, I'm a black man. I've married a black woman. I want my kids to be black. I want my grandkids to be black. I want them to look like me. And Parkinson said, oh, you're a racist. And Muhammad Ali said, no, I'm not. It's whatever you are. If you're white, you want your kids to be white. If you're black, you want your kids to be black. And I thought, good on him. You know, there's, because very few white people would in this country would come out and speak the truth like that. But he did. Few people would argue with him because he was world champion at the time, you know, but he made some good points. And, you know,
thank you for your call, but we do have one more caller, and we just have a few minutes left. So
thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you for calling. And we have a call from Ord, Nebraska. You're on the air.
Hello. My name is Jake, and the United States did have a educational program called Common Core, but it was defunded under the Trump administration. But my question is about the churches. What is happening in the churches in Great Britain? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, lots of members of the church, the Christian church, regardless of the denomination, whether Catholics, Church of England or whatever, they have lots of Marxists infiltrated into them as well. And we have been brought up as Christians, well, most of the people listening to this program, I would think, and we've kind of allowed ourselves to be hypnotized by things. Because they always pull the thing about, oh, well, you should turn the other cheek. Well, I don't accept that. I think they distort the meaning of turn the other cheek, because Jesus Christ didn't back down from anything or anyone. He told the truth, regardless of whether they liked it. And turning the other cheek was just a metaphor for, you know, in my view, standing up for those who don't allow you to tell the truth. They hit you on one side, you turn the cheek and keep on telling the truth, regardless of whatever they do. And I'm glad to hear that they've closed down Common Core, by the way, because Common Purpose still exists in Great Britain. In fact, it was so strong under the last Labour government that their head office in the UK was at the rear of the Deputy Prime Minister's office. That shows you how high up they were within the establishment in this country. Not so much
Mike,
now.
We only have about a minute left, and I was wondering, you do paralegal work helping prisoners over there. Is there any way that our listeners could donate or help with some other kind of support to help you in your program over there?
Well, yeah, we have a website called The British Voice. And The British Voice is, it's thebritishvoice.org.uk, without any gaps, of course. And, you know, you can get in touch with us through that. And there's also an organization that helps along with the, helps the prisoners, and they're called The Link. And we're in touch with The Link, so any donations for the prisoners, the prisoners of conscience, we can pass that money over to The Link, and it'll be spread, shared amongst them. Because one particular chap, Miko, who's a, you know, a trustee of the ministry, he's serving 8 years for doing absolutely nothing at all. And his family are really suffering very, very badly. So, you know, he'd be grateful of any help that he could get. And young Jack Renshaw is doing 20 years for doing nothing unlawful. His family is suffering very badly. So we have a disastrous situation in this country, and any help that anybody can give would be greatly appreciated.
Well, I appreciate you being on the air tonight, but we're just out of time. So
okay.
I'm going to have to put our closing announcement on, and we'll have to have you back sometime in the future. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mike.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our costs plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.